Nike for just about every single American event or holiday, they come out with some type of pack of
really
all the time. Like they had stuff, they have a bunch of shit for Pride.
I'm sure about that.
Yeah, so
but they even have like the Labor Day joints or
usually they may do
the American workers, like a little child worker boy on the shit.
I went to my
Rustin Brown joints. Nah, that'd be fire.
Nah, my West Indian Flatbush. Oh. Went to fucking to the parade.
Like, tropical shit.
Got the Trinidad that Air Forces.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-exceptional American, Deej Dollars. DJ, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I thought you were going to say the co-captain of the Nets Navy.
Oh, I mean, you're a lead admiral.
Oh, now I've been moved up.
Yes, man.
What is that? Isn't it rear admiral?
I don't know naval ranks, but as if anyone has been listening to this pod for the past, I don't know, a little over a year, this version, you know about the fan group. Slash, what's a better word?
Movement?
Movement, revolution.
Revolution. Mm.
The Nets Navy.
Yes.
So when you see that naval destroyer coming to your town, when we pull up.
That black and white destroyer.
And that big gun turns. Got aircraft coming off that shit into the sky.
Yeah. Dropping bombs.
Nets Navy. Not only were we early and we lead this Navy, but there's a lot of great recent weaponized acquisitions.
New weapons.
That are coming, but I don't want to get too...
I just wanted to tease them.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Commentary's coming. But as an exceptional American DJ, it's been an interesting week or so. How have you been the past week?
I've been pretty good. We're in the middle of a beautiful New York summer.
Indeed.
So I've been enjoying my time inside and outside, doing a multitude of things. Got back in the swing of playing a little bit of basketball, little bit of hoop.
I hooped myself the other day.
Very nice at an outdoor court near you.
Outdoor.
Yeah, that's the lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to play when it's hot.
Rugged.
Yeah. Rugged.
Respect.
I think I got it from my youth, playing outside in the South with scorching heat and
sun beaming down on you.
Yeah, sun beaming down.
You hear that noise? Yeah.
And the little wave shit emanating from the asphalt.
I played inside. I played at the Y the other day, and I played against some teenagers, and I was like, y'all niggas got it.
Oh, you went to Dodge City or Bed-Stuy?
I thought about going to Dodge, but I went to Prospect Park. So,
the Blasio one. You saw the Blasio one there?
I did not.
Okay.
I went over there today, and niggas had kicked us out. Because there was like, I don't know.
Nigga, de Blasio was there.
I know, but no. But it was like ethanol poisoning.
Oh, shit.
I was like, y'all niggas can't come in here. I was like, what? God, de Blasio. But yeah, I'm washed. I learned really quickly. But still, the mind games, I Boris Diaw out there. Like niggas, you know.
Until you were passing, you were in like nice low post.
Just get niggas where they needed to be.
Hey, all right.
You know, savvy. But I also, I made out the 50th anniversary of Pride.
Ah.
Stonewall anniversary this Sunday.
Very nice.
Yes. I saw all the festivities and rainbow colors and niggas being loud.
I'm sure you saw a lot. It's a lot to see.
I did see a lot.
It's rather boisterous, rather vibrant.
Boisterous. So, but it's funny though. So I took an alternative perspective on Pride because my father's a vendor, listeners, if you didn't know. So I was like, I'm going to follow you these next few days.
And then what was he vending?
So, if you've ever gone to an event, whether it be the Puerto Rican Day Parade or the Labor Day Parade out here, and you see niggas out on the streets selling your wares, your hats, your lights, anything that can be printed with some sort of decal that represents you.
Right, your commemorative gear.
Things like that. So I actually went with him a few days earlier. I was like, to see the purchase to pick up. So he's like, all right, so we're going to get some multicolored fans, multicolored ties, rainbow hats and flags, Stonewall flags.
Oh shit, Stonewall flags.
Yeah, China is on point, yo. They got the Stonewall 50 shit printed straight from the
bypass the tariffs. It's just still took the bite, still coming out positive.
So they was like, we got hike prices on y'all niggas. We give you the commemorative printing, boom, extra $12 a dozen. Hold that, China's smooth. Unbeatable. So it was kind of funny to see the commercialization from both sides, because if you've ever been, like a few years ago I went, and NBA's out there, Adam Silver out there, Dougie and his shit on the float.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, oh, this shit is really commercial. But even as I walked out there, I'm with him, but signs, every store, every logo, you've been on LinkedIn lately, your company's logo is in rainbow. It's like,
yeah, it's a lot of rainbow there.
You can't figure out what company does. And it's just like, wow, commercialism is, I guess, as American as apple pie. No matter what your sexual orientation is, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the net savvy was rainbowed out last I saw. I think on Twitter when observing a lot of the news, I didn't have the chance to deeply participate in the festivities, but it definitely has been bunking, as they say, all across the city for the past couple of weeks. I guess Pride Month was.
Wait, hold on. That's, I don't know about this one. What?
Like, remember the trap bunking? Like, B-U-I-N-K apostrophe?
The trap is bunking with a K. Bunking, yeah. I thought it was bumping.
Nah, you late. Like that was, bunking was like late aughts.
Really?
Man, like OJ the Juice Man.
He used to say it's bunking?
Yeah.
And like a high-pitched voice?
I don't know. Shit.
Okay, it's OJ the Juice Man. Just check it. All right, continue. Proceed.
Yeah, it was like people like that. Damn, that was a weird aside. But yeah. No. Yeah, you know, you've definitely seen it out in full force. I think it's because, obviously, a lot of public norms and morality has changed. Acceptance has grown. Marginalized groups have grown in representation and power, political power, economic power, obviously, over the span of that 50 years when it comes to the LGBT community. And with that, there's a market that follows that. So all these companies, whether it's your Nets or what other big corporations have you seen that really delved into it? NBA,
various banks and random companies. Like you
couldn't pass a bar that didn't have a flag or whatnot out. It's really just in their financial interest to do so. To be honest,
and you know what's funny? The new brand that was popping was transgender. Do you know what the transgender flag looks like?
Yeah, you were trying to explain it to me. I was probably like, is it just like a flag that fades like from one color to another?
No, it's light blue and pink and white in the middle.
Ooh.
So all genders.
Ooh.
I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
But new wave. You can brand that and put that on a sneaker, put that on a backpack, put that on a
tie. Yeah, that's a that's a nice pair of Nikes coming out.
I'm telling you, best tell. Fly
pair of 95s.
Hey, it's coming. Air Max.
It's gonna be all kind of niggas wearing it, like some nigga in the hood, like got them new Air
Max. I got the Bruce Jenner Ace, nigga.
He barely even know, but I mean, they fly, so you know, it is what it is.
Hey, man, it's all about the look.
Yeah, it's all about what can be bought and sold. So, you know, when it falls upon a more progressive proclivity, we don't really find too much issue with it. But you know, that's always the kind of tenuous amorality of capitalism and big business or small business on occasion, you know, just trying to ride the wave, a wave that had been newly created and that they may not have helped cultivate over time.
So, I mean, with that being said, where do you feel like this whole Nike situation fits on this whole spectrum?
Okay, so is that's us what, like turning the page to like these Air Max? That was smooth, but I'm saying like, for the New Year's, like New Year's Day shit, right? What am I talking about? The 4th of July, the Air Maxes that have now caused a mild social uproar and political retribution, right? So yeah, I think that actually brought us to kind of the meat of this ep, right?
Indeed.
Because I feel like this story really is like, right in our wheelhouse.
It's just like fit all the, checked all the boxes.
Yeah, you got, you know, political strife, what you call like white check. Evil.
White evil, check.
You got consumerism.
Check.
You've got the social media dystopia.
Indeed.
What else was there? You've got just consumerism. You've got my favorite sneakers, Nike.
Of course.
And you've got like brand strategies, just all of these buzzwords like that we can really hit on.
I love it.
Yeah. So Nike, for just about every single American event or holiday, they come out with some type of pack.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. Like they had stuff. They have a bunch of shit for Pride. Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure about that.
Yeah. So,
but they even have like the Labor Day joints, or
usually they may do
the American workers, like a little child worker boy Labor Day.
I went to my
Rust and Brown joints. Nah, that'd be fire.
Nah, my West Indian Flatbush. I went to fucking to the parade.
Like, tropical shit.
Got the Trinidad, that Air Forces. Maybe not for that one actually, but for the ones that probably have a larger, more urbanized crossover and profile, they tend to head on. So whether that's Pride or even Valentine's Day, 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day, like, you know, just miscellaneous holidays throughout the year, Nike comes out with a pack on it of a handful of sneakers to commemorate it, to give the masses their, you know, respective wares that they can put on during the day.
Yes.
To celebrate. And no less happens on every 4th of July. There's always a 4th of July pack of literally a half a dozen or so different sneakers of different types in a red, white, and blue colorway. Nonetheless, this year it was no different. They had a whole assortment of Nike apparel and sneakers coming out, and one of them included is a pair of Air Max 1s, I believe, that
yes.
Are fairly commonly in appearance. And they're not like the dopest shit ever, but they have a old version of the U.S. flag on the back.
The OG 13-star one.
Right, made by who exactly?
Pardon our neighborhood and the stuff in the background, but I Miss Young Betsy Ross.
Oh yeah, right. the original
George Washington was like, make us a flag, Betsy. Oh, if I do it.
Yeah, it was like during the Revolutionary War. Right, this is like during the Revolutionary War.
Something like that.
Right. So yeah, sure, fine, whatever. It looks as if there had started to be mild complaints or asides on social media bringing up the contentious time, especially socially, that occurred when that flag had been created. And one powerful social figure in Colin Kaepernick apparently spoke up as well, and long story short, got Nike to pull back from releasing those.
Now, spoke up. What, that was public tweets? I still haven't.
I still don't know for sure.
Yeah, right.
From reports that are out there, it could have been internal. It could have just been, you know, some casual conversation with them, because he's still Nike part of Nike athlete? Campaigns. He's a full on Nike athlete with a lot of social clout, obviously, and to be honest, these packs oftentimes, I didn't like to add that, they're usually in usually smaller distribution. Like, they don't make as many pairs.
So they're limited.
Yeah, limited, right. So this one was what they call a quick strike. So it really was going to be fairly rare, produced in very low quantities. There weren't that many pairs out there, a couple thousand or so. So they turn around and they told all the distributors, okay, we're not going to sell it. I guess word gets out, and that's where the backlash of the backlash happens.
Backlash.
Yeah, as what seems to be just far too common nowadays, where in a few of these occasions, commerce collides with social issues. So one Arizona governor, Doug Ducey,
your boy.
My boy, apparently. comes forward and withdraws the financial incentives for Nike to build a factory in Arizona over
Which I was like, Nike doing business in Arizona in the first place, you might not want to fuck with that. I just found that to be a shock, personally.
Just that they would set up shop there.
Why would Nike need any office in Arizona for any reason?
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't, from my understanding, it's not quite an office. They were building a set of factories or design factories.
In Arizona.
Jobs, yeah.
Chinese jobs.
Hey, good. It's coming.
Get the sewing.
Yeah, and it was going to amount to about 500 jobs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, in the Metro Phoenix area. Over Nike's decision. This is like, so we're now we have to like laugh.
This is the flip side of the Georgia abortion bill thing.
Or it's like the cousin of it, right?
Yeah.
solely over Nike refusing to release their own shit to their own customers. This did not cause any relative harm to anyone in particular, but Ducey apparently has an issue with this symbology compared to the actual history that Kaepernick and others chose to speak
Arizona
up.
Everyone's slick, most racist state.
Wasn't it the last one to establish MLK Day?
You know it, brother.
All right. And if we didn't add, like, at the time, obviously, Betsy Ross and that American flag slavery was still definitely enshrined early colonies. That's kind of the thing. I think it got into relatively vague territory, and we still don't know exactly what Colin Kaepernick did or said. But long story short, a couple people made some noise, and Nike just cut their losses, especially considering their business strategy, which is heavily dependent on people of color and urban environments or urban enclaves, to just be like, you know what, we're going to get ahead of this and move on. So ergo, then comes like this Doug Ducey thing. You were saying it was like the case in Georgia, right?
Right.
So. Oh, and I was thinking of the other one. I think there's actually a better corollary.
Which one?
That actually showed a bit of harm, and I understood it a little better, was when the NRA was doing NRA shit, and Delta Airlines chose to end its reward program.
Yeah, I remember this.
With NRA members, as in having a specific, you know, like card that you got Delta points on if you're an NRA member. White people started flipping out in the state, and in particular, the whoever's in power at the time, I think it was before the current governor, but they ended tax incentives for Delta in the state. Mind you, Delta is like the biggest company in Georgia.
It's absurd.
Like the main hub is in Atlanta. The busiest airport in the world is, well, I don't know about what, it's something like that. The busiest airport is Atlanta, and that's particularly because of Delta Airlines. So if they would cut their noses, bite their face over some shit like that, That actually seems more substantive than even just this Nike case, because in that case there were NRA, you know, members that were getting something out of a previous agreement, and Delta backed out on that. So I thought the retribution of that was obviously asinine and ridiculous, and Republicans are always the one, or conservatives are always the one to say that companies and corporations can operate as they please and they're private. Instead, they chose
as soon as something runs afoul of the flag or guns or
right, it's just... then is a problem. So in this case, Ducey quotes. You got the quote, or do I have to read it?
Hold on. This is from the CNBC joint.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at it, but I'm trying to find the.
Yeah. So we're representing
It's a shameful retreat for the company. American businesses should be proud of our country's history, not abandoning it.
So what does that mean in the history?
And that's contentious. Oh, let me finish. Nike has made its decision, and now we're making ours. I've ordered the Arizona Commerce Authority to withdraw all financial incentive dollars under their discretion that the state was providing for the company to locate here.
That's it.
It is a funny aside in here, too, the fact that he used to be CEO of
Cold Stone Creamery. Fucking ice cream man. Like really trying to boss up on Nike. Okay, it's cool. You the governor and all of that, but like he was the one to really step out over some fucking sneakers. Really, We're talking about sneaker. Like, no matter virtue signaling us out. Like, we're talking about
like fuck over
a sneaker release.
Hundreds of your citizens from their jobs and shit.
of potential jobs that would have really established, you know, something there in that community. Would have built on, you know, more businesses and infrastructure and family structures there on the school systems. Like, that shit really does trickle down.
And that nigga's over. Just going to be going back to being in-ground pool salesman and shit out in Arizona.
Niggas going back to like being the cousin of Breaking Bad and shit out there. But yeah, I just found this just to be rather absurd and rather indicative of the times. And I think this may become more frequent than we would like. And I try to keep a clear mind about it, because every now and then there may be a company that does something virtue signaling socially that I don't like. By the end of the day, but especially if there's no real harm done.
Listen, man.
How are they going to react?
Anybody like stop Chick-fil-A?
No.
No. And they keep opening one open across the street.
I know. Has anyone stopped eating at Chick-fil-A? No.
Shit, too banging.
But progressives and liberal types, they would get, you know, drug through the mud if they really tried to step in and fight against that or push them up, push them out of the city and so on. They may have already had, but it looked like it wasn't working out.
Hobby Lobby, all that shit.
Right, so
that shit made it to the Supreme Court. Just as like, you know, the niggas mad. Stuff, right? in their healthcare plan or whatever.
Right, so we talking about, like AI said, we talking about practice, we talking about Nikes. We talking about a pair of sneakers that they chose not to release.
So the real question is,
yeah,
are these fire?
And they're not even that fire. They got a picture of the shit on there, which also makes me mad. Based on the second piece, I mean, they both were just pretty quick write-ups in CNBC. But these same sneakers, because of the salaciousness now attached to them, and they already had been made and sent out to the distributors. And if any of you guys, any of you listeners know, once they out in the wild, shit can happen.
Niggas steal them from warehouses, niggas back rooms.
Steal them, sell them. You know, a couple pairs shaved off of a full-size run, nobody's going to pay attention to that. When Nike gets them back, they're probably going to either break them apart and I don't even know if they're reusing. They might just burn the shit like how a lot of these other companies do. Like H&M and the rest of them. They just literally burn all the surplus clothes that they have sometimes. So some people get their hands on a couple of pairs and put them on StockX, and their reselling, or at least their highest sale, was like more than $2,000 for these fucking Nikes. Like, what the hell is going on?
We near, what, $120 initially?
For some Air Max 1s with a little flag on the back, the old school flag.
Shit's gonna heat, man.
They're okay. They're nice and wearable. They're not bad looking sneakers, but this was
I'm
not...
I'm definitely in on the chaos of this shit. I'm like, ooh.
I know, now you like, salacious. Let me put in my little beard on StockX and see. I'm putting my $10. See if they're gonna bite. Like, come on, son. Like, really? This is what's hot in the streets?
But this is how sneakers operate anyway, so this is just, it's all happening.
This is definitely how sneakers and, you know, limited goods operate.
Supreme, all this bullshit.
Yeah, the story behind it, the potential salaciousness. Like, I get that, but they would have to be a little more fire, and the story would have to be, like, a little more dope to me. Instead, this was like, yeah, the flag is a little contentious and racist to some people, and, so I think they're worth a lot more money now.
All right, going back to the initial issue, is it racist?
That is the gray area. Well, not even gray. That is just the vagaries of you know, of a corner of Twitter that you know will always have an issue with something that brings it up. And I guess in this case, that corner had Kaepernick over there, and he brought it to Nike.
Because it wasn't like they put like the two-way Second Amendment Nikes and shit. Like, oh, goddamn.
Or put out though, like some fucking shackles or something.
Yeah, I was like, goddamn. God damn.
That would be a little on the nose. But, you know, I would like to think they did this with a bit of, for one, willful, understandable naivete and good faith that, oh, we're just going to use the original U.S. flag without taking into consideration what other... minority groups may feel about
it. It's gotta be, I don't know, gotta be a balance to this, man. We gotta complain about the right things. This ain't it for me.
This ain't it for you know, a bit of the hive mind to come in, and it's also not it for the backlash of the backlash.
It's just all absurd.
It just all looks bad. But I think it does speak to something that is a bit more clear and is a bit more truthful and is a bit more constructive in the fact that I did send you a piece. I don't know if you read it about
the Atlantic joint.
Yeah, the Atlantic joint from Peter Beinart.
Yo, before we get into that, okay. Can I just the flip side of this shit is the Kim Kardashian shit.
Okay,
I just find that to be the complete sort of antithesis of the outrage cycle thing. It's like, okay, so someone who's purportedly a left person does something insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Kardashian and her kimono shapewear line.
That new buzzwords right there, shapewear. I'm with it.
Shapewear line, right?
Okay.
Obviously, kimono, Japanese. Asians. And actually, it's funny. Apparently, that's real hot right now. I see like women like, oh, I got a kimono.
Oh, kimonos?
It's like a cute thing to like have as a nightgown.
Apparently, they're difficult to put on. So if you are they just wearing like silk pajamas or are they wearing like
a kimono? They think it's kimono, but it's just, okay. it's just silk pajamas. But she makes this line. People get upset about it. It comes out that, okay, she, I guess, been insensitive. She trademarks it. So she trademarks kimono, shaper, or whatever. And people are like, oh, hell no.
What the fuck, though?
In the U.S.
Yeah.
So it becomes an issue because, obviously, kimono is a traditional Japanese garment. Traditional Japanese word. And then from there, she was like, oh, you know, we're going to work on it. We're going to figure out what we're going to do. This is my thing. You start getting the hashtag Kim Oh No, which is kind of terrible, but.
Yeah, it's trash. Hashtags are not sexy anymore either. Right?
It's just they're too SEO'd. And, yeah, like just,
and the algorithm can actually pick up just normal plain text now. Just about.
Yeah,
as
if
well,
you search so. Plain text, it doesn't need really the hashtag. But it's just like it became hilarious that we moved through the cycle so quickly because it's everyone within that outrage culture. So it just kind of ate itself. The snake ate itself so quickly where she was like, oh, well, you know, I copyrighted it and this is something I'm proud of, to the point where the city of Kyoto sent Kim a letter. Miss Kim Kardashian West, city of Kyoto, Kimono Intimates Inc. I'm writing you this letter on kimono to ask you to reconsider your decision of using kimono in your trademark. It's a traditional ethnic dress. Fostered in our rich nature and history. Blah, blah, blah. Something, 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 something. We are currently undertaking initiatives to make kimono a kimono culture registered to a UNESCO intangible cultural heritage list so they can only, like champagne, only make kimonos in Kyoto, Japan.
Mm.
Thank you. Sincerely, truncated version read by Brandon, Daisaku Kadokawa, Mayor of Kyoto. And I just went all, and then she was like, okay.
Right, he showed her.
I just found that a government official actually went, and as opposed, I guess, banning Kim Kardashian from selling kimonos in Kyoto or some sort of other reactionary thing, I guess solved it. I don't know. This whole thing is just absurd to me.
I mean.
Because the sneakers, I was like, oh. Clever. That was my first.
Oh, for just kimono.
I was like, oh, okay, that's cute.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about having to think clearly about what the corner of the disgruntled social media sphere is saying. Not to totally dismiss it out of hand, but really to take it into account. But what we already knew beforehand, before you even had to take what they say into account, is that the Kardashian clan are crass, completely, you know, capitalist market-oriented figures. Like, they don't give a fuck about any sense of cultural appropriation. Of
how many black men they re-wraith their energy from?
sapping energy from the culture. They don't care. And there are a lot of faceless individuals out here that don't care either. And will happily participate and buy their garments or view them as some type of viable figure. This leads to the point where Kim is considering running for fucking president. And is it that crazy nowadays in the age of Trump? I don't think so. So, it's like, I don't even know what to explain. You just got to throw your arms up, like trying to moralize or, you know, really drop knowledge on someone or an entity like that coming through with this type of venture. I don't see what fruit can really come of it.
I mean, I guess it worked to an extent, so.
How did it work?
She's not
going to. Okay?
Yeah, she said okay.
So she's going to change the name from Kimono.
Yeah.
It's just going to be some other Kim thing?
She's still working on it, you know.
Well, that means it works.
Yeah.
And she's shown a bit of growth. I will say that. I think their whole venture as a whole, and obviously their ascent to stardom, it was completely crass and indicative of the worst parts of our culture. But, you know, she's a real person, and she's worked on, I would say, generally positive social ventures, especially as of lately with their, like, social
and justice. And for women, stuff. It's for women of all shapes.
And colors. Right? Yeah, cause she's, I don't know. I don't know what she would put in on whatever version of the census that we get. I don't know what she would
She's a swarthy.
Swarthy?
That's where always going to be like, what color are you? Are you pale, dark, or swarthy?
She said, what is she, like a quarter Persian or some shit?
They're white girl? They're from, what's it called? That place.
Yeah, from, like, it's part of Persia, right?
Armenia.
Or Turkey. Armenia, yeah.
Yeah, them niggas got genocide.
I mean, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But yes. I don't know. She's somewhere on that census. But, you know, whatever. It's just interesting to me that the cycle of this shit is just so weird on so many different scales, man. And I don't know what American capitalism is in the center of everything.
But it's weird because American capitalism has always been, well, for the most part, has been immune to like public moral or public good for the most part, especially after the idea of the good corporate citizen just pretty much evaporated and it became solely dependent on increasing stock values.
Right.
You know, so if and when, well, this has become, you know, like more common now, right? You get small wins like these where the uproar is enough to make these companies or entities change up their behavior. But that's also contingent on what the uproar is trying to accomplish. Because you look at it on one end with Japan or Kyoto getting Kim Kardashian to change her company's name. Or you look on the other end, you got Doug Ducey in Arizona trying to nix out on Nike tax incentives over to us something that seems insignificant over a pair of fucking sneakers. So it's messy and it's going to be messy.
Well, at least case by case. There's a side of this whole thing that alludes to the is it Beinhart?
Beinart.
The Peter Beinart article. It's just that people of our ilk, I'd say our age or our understanding of our background, I guess don't treat all this shit with like it's the cynicism is just there. The natural cynicism of capitalism, the morals of these companies and all these things. Like as easy as you called out Kim on her bullshit, it's like that's not new for us.
Yeah, but I guess we as a collective, and that might just include for the most part, a lot of the millennial cohort, didn't have, for one, the socioeconomic power, and we didn't have the microphones to be able to do so. So the social media uproar, the hive mind, or the abstractions and conversations that come from it, they are rather powerful. They definitely rather are. And the advent of the internet and, you know, change.org, petitions, or, you know, whatever, fucking GoFundMes or whatever, fuck. They, you know, definitely add up to a lot. So now what we're saying now is, American, like, what is and whatever was American exceptionalism? And that's what's examined in that Peter Beinart piece, right? Is that you have especially young leaders, politicians like, she has a long name, the AOC.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. Yeah. Really calling everything into account and pretty specifically and explicitly calling out the idea of American exceptionalism, because at what point were we ever exceptional or, as Trump says, great? You know, like,
again, back
a lot of shittiness and
back
racism.
When?
Right, back when. Oh, just back when, like, dot, dot, dot.
Back when.
Right. Dot, dot, dot. And everything was white and right.
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of us, shit has not been like quite that exceptional. Or even in particular, we just see evils done on behalf of the country that we live or love or appreciate or live in. And we can't just like turn a blind eye to shit like that. That shit is not cool. And as a whole, as a collective, as these types are saying, we got to do better. Like, if we're supposed to be the biggest and best country, then we have to act like biggest and best, and we have to really hold ourselves up to the morals that we try to project, you know. And then that's just the general idea.
It's weird that where that whole idea sort of came from. I wonder, is it really a post-World War II thing that idea really took hold?
Yeah, the weird number one thing, it solidified, it calcified probably between like the, you know, late 40s to the 50s, late early 60s, maybe.
Yeah, right before hippies started.
Wow. Yeah, right before JFK's assassination, you know, when shit just kind of went off the rails. And that's specifically from, you know, an American perspective, where the exceptionalism was really conceived, because we won the war. We were the driving reason why we won the war. We, you know, sent people to the moon. We built the atom bomb, destroyed two, you know, Japanese cities. We built
wild infrastructure and shit.
We built highways. We built the white middle class. We educated and provided jobs for all the GIs that came home. The tax structure was better. You know, the minority groups were pushed to the side. I gave a fuck. So yeah, like, shit seems dope like that. You know, when you got your little house with the white picket fence and two wives and leave it to beaver lifestyle. Yeah, shit seems like pretty cool, and America's on top. But we're able to see more, and we're able to communicate a little better across the board with one another, and really see how shitty things can be, whether that's, you know, having a relationship with Saudi Arabia and how shitty their regime is, but we're, you know, best buddies with them, or, you know, or the issues happening on the border, you know, immigration and all these migrants are difficult, but
it's, I guess, like, you all want to sing God Bless America and all this shit. Just like, how can you? It's like, we open our arms to everyone, sing right. songs and shit. Like,
right. So if we're going to do all that, then we got to really do it, like, collectively, and not be, you know, Shercat really having real responsibilities.
I mean, it's funny because it's like obvious cynicism on both sides from people like us who understand the bullshit, and then the you know, bad faith actors on the other side that are like, yeah, American exceptionalism, they just rape everything.
Well, it's, I like, mean, go ahead.
I'm saying, where do you feel like this is like the most apparent? Because it's all obvious to us, but we talked about an article about the Midwest a few weeks ago. It's just like, when people's eyes get uncovered to like this shit, it's like, where are people being most surprised about this? Maybe it's the opioid thing or something. It's just, I find it all absurd. Like, even if this is an article, like, it's good if someone needs to read it, but yeah. we're like, yeah, yeah.
I think it all, well, a great summation of it is the Doug Ducey comment that you read. He's like, we should be proud of our history.
It's like, should we?
Or just not even to leave open or to talk with a certain amount of nuance to really take into account, for one, the contentiousness of the past, or even just like the pros and cons of the past. Because the past is the past, and, you know, the past is prologue, right? So a lot of things that we're still dealing with are the outgrowth of what happened in the past. Like, all this like racism and shit, or just problems with the economy, or, you know, social, and
it's all happened.
Yeah, you know, it's because of what happened before and what was built there. So,
and we're not gonna solve it by pretending like the shit didn't happen.
Yeah, like, we should just be proud of you know, Betsy Ross, like, fuck with the flag, you know, like, it's like, okay.
We're just like, it's like 15 black women sold that shit. She was in there like, you bitches get the sewing. We need a flag tonight.
Right, like, are we supposed to be hype about that? No, like, a lot of us are not that hype. Once you learn about this shit, you're not going to be that hype about that. No, I'm not that hype about American history prior to, you know, 1967. I'm not happy about that shit whatsoever.
This shit's whack.
I'm happy that, you know, the U.S. won a couple wars and we can live nice, relatively comfortable lives, but we can do better. It's not a coincidence, like, a person of the profile of Doug Ducey is the one that's saying that, right?
Oh, a guy like him, a former CEO, a nice, hefty white gentleman, I'd imagine. Am I incorrect?
White man. Christian white man.
Feels like everything, the basis of his identity is being foisted away because it's great. Why would we not want to recognize that? Look what it's done for me.
Right. And, you know, the myopia, or to not see it is understandable. But to you know, refuse different perspectives or to even understand that that's not as unacceptable, and it gives the impression as if you're pushing that shit away. And, you know, that's one of the internal struggles that we have as a country and have been.
So, DJ, if we could end on a positive note.
Very positive.
A celebratory note.
Celebratory.
Let's fill the piers up.
Let's pop a bottle.
Let's pop a bottle. Let's pull into the harbor here. Nets Navy time. Celebratory.
We need. Remember those old Navy SEALs? Or is it the Marines? Those ads and shit. He's like action.
All the swords and shit.
Pull up.
The Marines.
Nets Navy.
Go get killed.
First to fight.
Oh,
first to die.
Murder young people overseas.
Nets Navy, man. You know, as longtime Nets fans, we are apoplectic. Are we just over the hill, or?
I usually have a negative connotation of apoplectic. Is that on the positive end?
Well, I feel like it's neutral because you're just like, we're seizing.
Okay, I like that.
With the NBA free agent period coming into play. There was a long talk about, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant coming to New York.
Yes.
And now they've both joined the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes, there was talk about them coming to New York. The idea was for the Knicks. Turned out to be the Nets.
And now my pockets are in flux because of the popularity of this team now with Kyrie Irving and also DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, he was a throw-in. Yeah,
he's coming, to hang out. The new hype beast team. People are going to be here hanging out. Kyrie did a whole video walking on the Brooklyn Bridge. Did you see his video?
Oh, fuck no. No, really?
It's like, you know.
He's so corny.
I was, you know, 13, so watching the Nets go to the finals, and I always remember, like, well, this is a good team, man, back in Jersey. And he's, like, walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm glad to be home.
No, I did at least read a caption, and we was talking about home. I'm like, not quite home, bro, but. You know, I'm not being negatively cynical.
And KD just made an Insta post of shit. He's like, Kevin Durant is joining the Brooklyn Nets.
Fair enough. that was it. Yeah, like, we gotta walk across the bridge. Come on, Tim. Yeah, you know the developers over here are gonna be doubling down like this shit across the street.
What is this? About to just
that Chick-fil-A will be there tomorrow.
Man, you got a house? Chick-fil-A, they up that. What? Chick-fil-A is slated to open across the street from Barclays, and Shake Shack is upset because this shit is about to, they're about to push to get that open. Yeah. I mean, geez. Yeah, everybody on Fifth Ave jumping.
Yeah, it's a shopping center that they're building right there, apparently, right there on Fifth and Flatbush. Right there.
Yeah.
Some like weird shaped building.
Yeah. Okay.
Right next to the Shake Shack.
I guess that's just seemed undeveloped, so.
Yeah, but I feel like
it'll be up soon. You know,
they're going to put the afterburners on. So I think we both feel more positive yet conflicted about the outcome. That's economically, that's also. Based on the on-court product, based on on-court personalities, based on what the team had been, and potentially what it may be. What say you?
I'm content. First and foremost, the KD injury, I guess, I feel like solidified it just because...
He ruptured his Achilles tendon.
His Achilles tendon, and now he's upset at the Warriors. And then furthermore, the Nets doctor is his doctor.
Oh.
So, like, why not?
Simple enough.
Why not just work with my doctor all year? He did his other surgery with his foot when it broke or whatever, and he had to hang out, to live in New York, chill out for a year, work on more boardroom episodes, finally come to terms with myself. Okay. Just, you know, he can do all that here and just chill out. And for me as a fan, that was the only scenario where I could accept the pain of D'Angelo Russell leaving. And it's like, well, shit, if it was just Kyrie, I didn't want that. We talked about how just Kyrie wasn't enough. And it's Kyrie and KD, so yeah, it's enough.
Fuck it.
Yeah. I still get to keep Karis. I got the Karis bobblehead. I get to keep Joe Harris.
Yeah.
All my hearts, young Dinwiddies.
You still got your Rondé bobblehead. They gotta let that one go too.
I gotta throw Rondé out the window. Shit! Ah!
Spike him or let Nalo chew on his head.
I still got young goat Rodion's Karuks.
Okay.
So you know, the team is still intact.
Jared Allen.
You know, I can't. And for D'Angelo to be on the Golden State Warriors, if it was supposed to happen, I can't feel any worse.
Now apparently. Slight word is he may get traded.
I keep hearing that, but I don't think so.
Okay, well,
because why?
by both sides, but yeah.
It's like he's 8 years younger than them. Why not like keep him? You can play him at two, Clay to three, and then.
Yeah, but when Clay comes back, what, he's going to play to three? Or
it doesn't mean that shit doesn't matter. Just get buckets. Like them, they'll be dropping buckets on everybody. Mm. Draymond and the god, Willie Cauley-Stein, and you're fine. Willie's there.
Willie Trill, if I remember correctly.
Trilly.
Made it. Oh, it's Trilly.
Cauley-Stein, yeah.
Willie Trilly?
Willie Trilly.
I thought it was Trill. It's Trilly. He changed his middle name.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, legally?
Yeah, it was Trill. Yeah, I thought it was Trill.
Oh, so he's really an idiot. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was serious. Yeah. From my understanding, he changed his middle name to Trill.
Oh, great.
To Pimp C. Yeah. Yeah, I'm mostly in your boat. I think I've made my reservations clear before. I'm not a big fan of Kevin Durant nor Kyrie Irving on a personal level.
Yeah, they're annoying.
Personalities.
They're whack.
As both basketball and actual person personalities, but they're both excellent basketball players. Obviously, KD, if his career continues on the trajectory it had been, hopefully he gets well from the Achilles injury, he'll go down as a top 10 player of all time. Or somewhere within that.
Yeah, he's really great. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, we only have to do, you know, Bill Simmons, you know, list and shit all the time, but he's a great player. And Kyrie is a great player in his own right, although he's now submarined two franchises and on his third team.
Back to back.
So that's a little concerning, although he is now home. So maybe he won't act.
Well, he's on a 4-year deal, so he can't do shit. Trap.
I mean, these players, they finesse so much now. It's now the quote unquote player empowerment era. So.
I know. If I rent a friend, I'd be like, listen, dog, just come hang out then.
just collect the check.
Just collect the check. Come hang out.
Be on your Bobby Bonilla and shit.
Yeah, dude, your Bobby on. You ain't going nowhere, dog.
Where's Bob? Yeah, next season, KD won't be there. Still recovering from his Achilles injury, which is a devastating injury. So they'll want to take their time with that. It's like playing with house money, right?
Yeah.
So that brings in the economic dilemma we're in.
Yes.
You and I, we're men of a certain means.
Yes.
We can push together enough pennies to at least buy a half a season's worth of upper deck tickets.
Yes.
And we had been waffling.
Yes.
Fucking waffling for months on end to get in on these tickets. The telemarketers still call me every day, trying to get me on the wave. I'm scared to even pick up now, because I know they're going to tell me a number I don't like.
I'm sure.
And at the same time, I know I'm going to see a product that is, you know, missing. What would you want to call that? Like, what proportion of the cap will Kevin Durant be at that point? At least, what, 20%, 23%?
I want to say at least a third.
A fifth?
That's like $40 million, right? So,
$40 million? So him and, you know who won free agency? As a quick aside. My nigga, Tobias Harris?
Oh, look at we get back to him.
The fuck?
Get back to that.
So, you know, it's going to be at least a weird season, knowing that just what's clear in the back of your mind is that this is not a finished product. But if we were to still engage in that, we would have a better slot and price going into the following season.
Right.
And what would that be 2021?
But it's, no one is, everyone's aware of that. So it doesn't work.
Everyone's aware of that. And shit, you know, shit's wild now. Niggas might not even be here in 2021. You know, you never know. That's both vocationally and Trump might fucking, I don't know. Press the wrong button, blow up Barclays, something like that. So we'll have to see. So it's a tenuous play for the two of us. Although me as Rear Admiral, because why'd you relinquish the title? You were holding it down for a while.
Because
it's just D-Lo.
Well, not that. I just, in terms of this journey forward.
It's a big lift.
We need a new Rear Admiral, and I just was beaten down. I am hurt by D-Lo. I can move forward. I can put the jersey in a shadow box so you can't see the back. I can just be like, oh, I'm a Nets fan. Yeah. There. But knowing where I've come from, in terms of where I was liking with my tickets and knowing where we're going, it's a lot.
The character of the team has definitely changed. like, you know, literally over the course of a few hours, where
we, as the Nets Navy,
had been an upstart, growing a lot of young talent,
scrappy,
as you like to say, not even quite top end talent across the board, but they fit well, they got along well, they were coached well, and they played well. And that was enough for them to go through issues over the course of the last season, but still wound up making the playoffs and actually pushing the Sixers, although they were lacking size and got destroyed by Embiid down low.
Yes.
Oddly enough, the Knicks signed Julius Randle when we wanted him to come to the Nets.
We did.
So we flipped from that to
the 2021 NBA champions.
Yeah, and at least projected to definitely be in contention for that. I think there's a lot of growth and a potential move or two that would need to be made, because I'm not quite convinced that Kyrie and KD is the best duo in the NBA still, especially a 2 year older KD with coming back from a torn Achilles. But they're right at the cusp of it.
I definitely am convinced, actually.
Why so?
Well, because KD doesn't need to do anything but stand there and pop jumpers, and he will do that. And the rest of the team is really good. It'd be different if they were like joining the Knicks together, the two of them, and they'd be like, all right. But we saw
they're players there,
so it's the same team from last year. Really.
Yeah.
With Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they lost your boy. He just signed to the Lakers.
I know. I was going to comment on that.
Your boy.
But he's. But I mean, Dallas. Listen, they're going to win a championship this year, so.
Oh, the Lakers?
Yeah.
We'll have to do an NBA preview, but I disagree.
But yeah. But the team is majority. It's mostly the same.
Yeah, Rondé's out, whatever. Good
riddance. Yeah, they lost Rondé, which is good. They got Torian Prince, who's good. Yeah, they got the rest of the other four players that we liked.
Yeah.
And they're still there. Five. Harris, five. Dinwiddie, Karugs, Allen, and somebody else. Livert. Yeah, so great GM, and what can I say? I can't complain, actually.
No, we definitely can't. Definitely can't complain. I would say it's just not hands down as I would like for it to be. Maybe I just have to see the encore product because it's still a bit, as you like to say, nebulous.
Yeah, we shouldn't have. We got to go fix KD's Achilles right now. Give him a bionic joint so he can get on the court.
Yo, just like fix this nigga in 2K and then we'll see. Just let the season run and see how it goes. See what the averages come out to be.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah. Was that it, or did you want to talk about anything else?
I mean, I don't know. You want to talk about Tobias Harris, how much money he got, but you don't want to do an NBA preview, so.
Well, that's a ways off. We could talk about at least that. We don't have to talk all about free agency. We're not like NBA insiders. That shit don't matter, but. He got like a full max.
Which, I mean, consider
Tobias Harris a forward for the Sixers.
76ers. I mean, because Jimmy Butler not wanting to stay, it's like, hey, why not? And his pops is his agent, which is dope.
Just lit.
Yeah.
And we got to pay his dad like 5%.
It's like, shit, you know, it's all in the family. Nigga, you owe me that. Take your ass all them games.
Right. I mean, no, am I ever mad at any player getting paid? No, not at all. But that is a large number.
Indeed.
40 million, 40.
There's like a lot 40, of interesting million. Things with the this is actually, I would say, the biggest free agency that's probably ever happened.
Yeah, definitely.
And the money, not only that, but who's getting it and where. You're like, all right, like J.J. Redick to New Orleans. I was, okay.
Yeah, but he got like 2 for $24.
Yeah, but did he need 2 years for 24?
And he got 1 year for like 20 last
but
season.
But that was some Philly last. Like cap.
Yeah,
game.
Just filling the cap. I know, I understand.
But
the Pelicans have a bunch of young players who are on rookie contracts, so they can still play around.
But even like Al-Farouq Aminu to Orlando for like 12 a year, 3 years, it's 3 years, 38 million. It's just like.
Okay, there are a couple of out. There are definitely a lot of eyebrow raisers. None coming into comparison with that.
Oh, Al Horford.
What do you get? Like 100?
4 for $109.
Is that more than Harris?
That's not
more
than no, Harris. But like he's like already 34 or something. Like,
yeah, I mean, my man Elton Brand is on full tilt. That's what I was saying. The GM of the Sixers, it appears as if ownership is fully behind him and willing to, you know, skirt around the cap. So he's just been like, fuck it, we're going for it. They feel like their window is within the next few seasons, including next one. So they're going for it. I understand. I respect it. He's a winning player. Like, he makes winning plays. Shit that you don't always see. I think Al Horford is good. They're playing a little retro. Maybe basketball will go back in that direction with him.
No, I mean, it's definitely gonna work.
Well, they still need shooting. They got Josh Richardson, Harris, Ben Simmons. Still very big. I mean, Richardson's not going to be small.
The size is going to be a problem. But it's all dependent on Ben Simmons learning how to play basketball. So
he's not going to shoot.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
I told you what he had to do, man. They just need to throw away the first 20 games. None but shoot. Like, just shoot. Shoot the fucking ball.
Yeah, man.
Because he's really good. If you learn how to shoot, he'd be one of the best players in the NBA.
It's important. It's important.
Yeah, he's like worse than Rondo.
Yeah.
Young Rondo.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's like Shaq or something, like Shaq on the pull-up.
Shaq has made a three.
Ben Simmons has made a three.
I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
I think I saw him make like three.
So he's like attempted like none. Like,
I remember seeing him. He made like an 18-footer, and they pulled like on national television. They pulled up like the stat thing. Like, this is the first 18-footer Ben Simmons has hit during the season. It's just funny. But yeah, we kind of closed it off with that. Shout out to Harris. What's the first name?
Cash out, man. Tobias.
Toby Harris getting exorbitantly paid. Not quite relative to his output, I would say, or impact on the court.
But hey, it's not about that. It's about what you can get.
It's about what you could get.
So, like, y'all can get more podcast episodes.
Oh, I like that. That was good.
Yeah, you know, more fire. Always Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud and Stitcher and all that. Because we have more shit to talk about every week.
Yeah, man. Summer's heating up.
More chaos going on. And as we always worried about, like you alluded to with your Nets commentary, we never know what's going to happen.
Never fucking know.
Might come back. Going to have the wild Chernobyl voice. Just I'm ruined by radiation and shit because of whatever terrible thing happened. So if you're waiting on bated breath for more podcast episodes, you know, keep coming back.
So you watched it?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah. I didn't have to watch the last episode. Like, I watched the first four.
You've been enjoying it though?
Yes. It's heat. It's lit. It's radiation.
It's radiated heat.
All right. All right, y'all. We'll catch y'all next week.
All right, later.